Let's celebrate this month. Let's celebrate this week. Welcome to the Big Weekly Blend Podcast, the companion to our Big Weekly Blend Magazine. Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio's Big Weekly Blend Podcast. Say that fast 10 times. We're celebrating the fourth week. Well, it's really the fourth, I'd say one, two, three, four, fifth week of October here with Joey Stuckey. Joey Stuckey is an awesome musician. You can keep up with him at joeystuckey.com. He joins us every fourth weekend to look at what's coming up the next week. And so we're going to be doing this from October 22nd through the 29th. It's almost Halloween. Happy about that. We love Halloween. I think everyone's tired of wearing masks. So who knows? But welcome back, Joey. How are you doing?
I'm excellent, my friend. And you know, I'm excited this year because I'll be spending Halloween in the UK. So I'm looking forward to checking that out and seeing what that's all about. You know, they've become sort of Americanized in the past 20 years or so when it comes to Halloween. And so we'll see how it goes, but it should be interesting. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do yet, but we do have that day is not a work day. So I'm sure we'll get into some kind of mischief. And I was hoping to be available for Bonfire Night or Guy Fawkes.
That is on
November 5th, traditionally.
Remember the 5th of November.
That's right.
You've been to Bonfire Night. Yeah.
Well, see, that's you're fun. Cool. But unfortunately, I will be in, I mean, not unfortunately, but I guess I'm excited. I'll be in Milan during that time, but I won't be in the UK. So I don't know if maybe they'll have something a little early. I don't know maybe if they'll combine Halloween and some fireworks for Guy Fawkes. I don't know, but we're going to investigate and find out.
When we lived in England, it wasn't October, like Halloween wasn't celebrated, and but Bonfire Night was. And from what I can tell from my friends in England, it's kind of changed up a little bit. It's kind of more of like when we have fireworks with the city putting it on, that kind of thing.
Right. That's exactly
whereas
what
back
that's
in the
my
day,
as well. Yeah.
It was kind of the neighborhood block and everybody
the neighborhood
took their,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of just kind of threw old furniture and blew it up.
Yeah.
You know,
but now the city's doing it. But yeah, I'm hoping we can experience that, but we may not. I don't know. We're going to be in West Sussex, on 3rd November, as the UK likes to put it, November 3rd. So we're gonna be doing a show that night, that afternoon. So maybe we'll see some early celebrations that night. But we got to get back to London that night and fly out from Milan the next day. So I probably won't have much time to.
Yeah, it's a Friday night though, so you never know.
That's right.
You never know. Well, when this airs, Nancy and I will be driving from Maryland. Silver Spring, Maryland. Yes, the song, Stevie Nicks' song, Silver Spring, comes from that. She saw that on the sign as they were driving.
Maryland's
there.
An amazing place. I spent some wonderful time in Maryland this year.
Yeah, we're going to be back up there. We were there earlier this year. In fact, we missed each other again.
By a week or something. I think it was like
a
week.
Yeah, we missed each other. We missed you when we drove through Georgia because you were in England.
Yeah.
I mean, but anyway, we will be driving to Tucson. We're going home for a little bit. And
do you remember,
Maryland.
Have you, you've probably never heard this, but there's a company called Z as in Zed, ZBS Media, ZBS Media. And they produce radio dramas. They're one of the greatest producers of radio dramas in America. Modern radio dramas, modern meaning the 70s and beyond. They have a wonderful short story called The Tongue That Licked Tucson. So I can't help but think of that every time I hear Tucson, Arizona.
Well, they didn't lick any saguaro cactus.
I think I know where the tongue came from.
Where's the tongue?
Don't start, Nancy. Please don't start, Nancy, on this. It is Halloween. It's almost Halloween, so she's got corn candy on her tongue. I know that.
You know, so what's the deal? You know, I have to say, what's the deal with the candied corn? Because I love them, and yet they taste terrible.
It's plastic.
They're funny.
I mean, the nature of man is revealed through candy corn because it shows our masochistic streak. Because I was like, this is terrible. Num 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 num. I want some more. Num 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 num. God, this is awful. Num 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 num. I mean, what is the deal?
It's just because it's a little crunchy on the outside. It's bright and colorful. You can use them as phony teeth
You
to
can. I've
see.
done that. Yeah, I've done that. And
Yeah,
they
see?
kind of taste like stale peeps. That's what they kind of
And
taste like.
yeah, so I mean, they're just funny.
Yeah.
You know, I like them, but they're, I think over the years, candy has been so mass produced that it's lost its quality. And
Yeah.
so I like old fashioned candy if you can get it like the old fashioned style, like in England. And I talk
The
about this a
good
lot, but England
chocolate.
has Cadbury eggs for Easter,
Yes,
like
or Cadbury.
real.
Yeah, you're
And
gonna
when
say
you come
Cadbury.
over to this country, they suck.
Yeah,
They
they
do
do.
not taste like
Lisa,
England's candy. Yeah,
let me
no,
tell you, let
it's
me
a
tell you
huge
that
difference.
England has much better, well, Europe in general has much better chocolate than we do.
Oh yeah, we
And
suck. We do. Unless you go to a chocolate shop,
well,
like a
and now
pastries.
my favorite little treat that I have to have whenever I'm in the UK, I get about 6 bags of Jelly Babies and carry them home with me.
You, I'm
And
with you. And
I love them.
licorice and
Yeah.
you got
Licorice.
jelly tots,
Yeah.
wine gums,
What's that?
crunchy bars. Fancy
Crunchy
ones.
bars. Those are delicious.
Crunchy bars are the best.
Yeah, they're good. And of course, there's, I mean, yeah, a Curly Whirlies. Don't forget your Curly Whirlies.
Oh my gosh, the Girly Whirlies.
Oh my
And
gosh.
what it whispers, what do they call the malt in the inside of the little chocolatey things? Malt whispers, I
Oh,
think.
malt, are the Maltesers you're talking about?
Maltesers, yeah. So they were
Yeah.
different in South Africa. And oh my gosh, no, don't start me. And rock, which is really why I have
Oh,
teeth
rock
problems.
candy.
Rock
Candy
candy is a naughty,
canes.
naughty thing to have. But now, do you like spotted dick or sticky toffee pudding?
I do, and I love bangers and mash. And actually, I'm really excited. Every time I go to the UK, I meet new friends and new fans, and I'm just my presence there continues to grow as I travel there. And this year, I have a dear friend, and he has invited Jennifer and I to come to his home, and he's making us homemade shepherd's pie.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm very excited about this.
See, now
Listen.
my granny came from Hull in Yorkshire County
Oh
in
my gosh,
England.
that's one of my good friends is from there. What?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that, and she was 4'9" and she cooked shepherd's pie. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
A
And
good shepherd's pie
oh, yum.
is there. Yeah, you, yeah, it is good. And because it's how the topping is done.
Yeah.
You got to have a crusty top.
Yeah,
You
and you
know.
have to know what you're doing. You really
But
do.
then there's Yorkshire. Okay, listen, because
Yorkshire
dumpling day,
pudding. Yorkshire
Yorkshire
pudding.
pudding, like the dumplings, like, you know, oh, please don't. I get so, like, when I, you know, people used to poo-poo English food, but I'm here to tell you,
Oh no,
stop it.
that's
It's
good
really
food there.
good. And listen, an English breakfast, they know how to
Oh
do a
my
fried
God, it's the
tomato,
best thing ever.
mushrooms. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Seriously.
It's amazing.
Steak, egg, and chips. And
Yeah.
listen, chips are not the same as French fries. These are two
No.
different things.
They know how to make, what did they call them? Slop chips.
And oh, like go to the Mr. Chippy and then salt and vinegar. Malt vinegar is the world's best friend. It
It
is.
is delicious.
Okay, so
Well, there
thanks,
we
Joey.
are.
You've
Now
made
I'm
us really
hungry.
hungry to start the show off, okay? So, so our main theme of this show, which we never stick to, but we're going to try. We'll see how
We're gonna
well we
try.
do, is
And
nuts
remember,
and
it's all
chocolate.
Lisa's fault if we get off it.
Yeah,
So,
apparently.
yeah,
Nuts and
Nancy and I have
chocolate.
decided.
Yeah.
Hunks and artists. I think that sounds like a good title, but let's see how well we do with this. And this
Well,
is
we
what we
also
do on
had
the
talked
Big
about
Weekly
chocolate.
Blend. For those who are new, we always look at what's coming up in the week and holidays, observances, all that good stuff. If you look in the show notes, you'll see link to Joey's website, joeystuckey.com, and also link to our site, blendradioandtv.com, that has a page with music playlists that Joey helps out giving us songs. Hey, put this on the playlist for this week, with all the different themes. And we create a playlist on YouTube and Spotify, so it's for everyone. You can listen. And we also now do book lists and reading lists, author lists. You can see the birth anniversaries of historic and famous people throughout the week, all the weird and kooky holidays. There's something for everyone in there. So check that out in the show notes. You know, wherever, you know, if you're listening on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Google, all that stuff. We're in every
Amazon,
place
don't
you could
forget Amazon.
imagine. Yeah, we're on everything.
I listen to your podcast on Amazon, so
Is it on
oh.
Amazon? Is that, Do you listen to audiobooks on Audible?
I do.
Ah, awesome. See, on that, that's cool to know. Yeah. Everyone's got a different thing. Apple, you know, people are like, oh, this is my thing. I have to do it on Apple. I'm like, well, we're also here. We're here. You know, it's everyone's got their thing. And
now, since we're talking about chocolate, the book list that certainly have Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Ooh. Oh, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And who was it that was just in that? Was it Gene Wilder that played in that?
Well, he was the original. Original Willy Wonka. And in my view, the best. The new Willy Wonka seems a little, I don't know, it just has a bit of a pedophile vibe to me.
Who is it?
I can't remember.
Well, let me figure out where, let me go to.
That's funny.
Wait, I got to go. Where is the chocolate? Where did the chocolate holiday come from? I'm looking at all these different holidays and it's kind of cool. There's some interesting ones that we have. The very first holiday for October 22nd is National Nut Day. And so everyone check out the peanutpatch.com. And I said peanutpatch.com.
Yeah, be careful.
I know.
Be very careful.
And no, but they have all nuts, including peanuts, which are legumes. And listen, they have everything. And they have
What's your favorite nut?
Okay, honestly, I love peanuts, even though they're not a nut. I love nuts.
I'm going to be ignorant and call them a nut. So,
cashews.
Cashews and pecans and pecan pie.
Macadamias.
Pecan pie is the ultimate thing.
Honestly, I'll eat them all, but I'm allergic to them now.
But
I did have a little bit of almond the other day, and it was okay. So I do a little bit here and there to kind of get my tolerance.
I love almonds. I like those a lot, but my favorite is the cashew. I like the macadamia nuts, especially when I'm in Hawaii. I eat macadamia nut pancakes.
Being
part of the Stuckey family,
I
have to give a shout out to the pecan.
Yeah, pecan pies are...
Pecan, listen, you said pecan, not a pecan, pecan.
Pecan is something and it's called a toy.
There's a big debate about this, whether it's pecan or pecan.
That's what you keep under your bed when you don't have a toilet.
Exactly. I just always thought pecan sounded weird.
It's a pecan.
So I just say pecan. But I don't know if I'm the minority or the majority on that.
Pecan sounds very, when you hear a real good Texan or Southern accent, it's pecan. And it's pecan. Very genteel. It's very...
It does sound bougie.
But it sounds better than pecan.
Yeah, that just makes you think of a rusty old can.
But you know what? Listen, I like that they bring this up like in October, National Nut Day, because one of my favorite things during the Christmas holidays is to sit and crack nuts and eat them. I love those.
Oh, they're fantastic. Do you cook them over a fire or what do you do?
I roast my own chestnuts, yes.
I figured you did. You look
that's why I'm allergic to them now. Actually, we used to play with knockers as a kid in England with chestnuts. You get the chestnuts off the tree. And you play knockers, and it was about knocking the nuts.
Knock the nuts together on
their thing. And whenever one broke off, then you lost. And whoever kept their knockers knocking won. And then knockers is another word for boobs over in South Africa. I didn't know that in England.
Being a breast enthusiast, I was aware of that.
Was knockers American too?
I think it's
British.
Is it British? It's British.
Yeah, I think so.
Actually, the British brought more terms over here, obviously. Everybody,
hold your knockers.
don't come a-knocking your knockers.
Since it's National Nut Day, should I tell my hurricane joke? I better not.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, I better not. I really better not. That's a naughty, naughty, naughty joke that I told as a young kid to a barbecue full of adults. And it was hysterical because they're drinking.
Tell it. I almost choked. I couldn't believe she said it.
I'm always for making a public spectacle of myself, so I'm all for telling the joke, but that's just me.
Okay, everybody, hold your ears. Okay.
If you don't like it,
this was as a little kid, I didn't know, but it's this joke. Listen.
Now, I think you were like 7 or 8?
9, 10, 11, 10. I didn't understand. I thought it was funny for one thing because the word nuts was in it. I thought that was funny.
Oh my gosh,
this takes it to a different level.
So I'm sorry for all those. I did not. Friends.
This
well,
is
do,
being
do this.
Called.
Tell us the joke, and then explain
I'm going
to
tell the
to
joke.
Us.
And this is out of innocence, so please do not get mad at me later. But this was whatever. As a kid, did not know. So I'm just reciting history. Mm-hmm. So I stood up and said, "I have a joke," and because you know, and everyone's like, "Oh, let the little kid tell a joke." And but I was also the one running around giving everyone cocktails, and you know what us kids did when we were doing that too.
Yeah.
Oh, let's taste this. So what did the hurricane what did the hurricane tell the coconut tree? Hold on
I
to your nuts. This is, hold on to your nuts. It's gonna be one hell of a blowjob. And I thought it's cute. It's a cute joke. It's not that bad. It's not that dirty, but I didn't know what that meant.
It
I
was,
just thought, oh, he said, hold on.
He said, you know, you're talking now, but you're now, if you're thinking we're in a foreign country 40 years ago, that was, it was like, whoa.
Come on. That wasn't 40. Do not 30? Make me older. Hello. Hello.
20?
I'm not 30? In the 50s yet.
Excuse me.
No.
You are turning 50.
No, I'm not. Not this year. No.
And
it's
let
not
me
happening
say, Lisa,
yet.
You'll always look 25 to me.
I know, right?
That's
and
the
my
one advantage of being
are
blind.
Perfectly aligned.
Yeah. You know, that's the one advantage of always being blind. My friends can always look eternally youthful.
And listen, yes. This is the beauty about Halloween and this time of year. We can be anything we want. We can wear what we want. We can mask who we are.
Do you know,
COVID.
What I want to do for Halloween? You know what I want to dress as for Halloween in the UK?
What?
I want to dress as a black cab.
A cat?
Black hat?
No, cab.
A cab. Yeah. Like one of their little cabbies.
Vroom, vroom.
Yeah. Vroom,
wow.
Vroom.
Yeah.
How do you
so that
do
he can,
that?
He can flash his lights.
I feel like I should wear all black would be the starter.
Yeah.
And then I need to make my chest look like a bumper or something, I guess.
Yeah, you need headlights on your boobs.
Then you could put headlights on your boobies.
But, you know, male's breasts are not as exciting, is all I can tell you.
Yeah, but if you put flashers on them, they would be.
I guess. Yeah. But
if you could
also
flick them on and off, that would be really cool.
Well, and then I wanted Jennifer to dress up as a double-decker bus.
Oh, that's, you know, I don't know if a woman wants to be called a double-decker bus.
And
you
then
know.
I thought we could just run into each other all night.
Oh, that'd be funny. But I want to ask you this, Joey. Why do musicians keep wearing black, like all black a lot? What is
because
that?
Because it looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
Johnny
Cash
to,
did it.
Well, I think it has to do with, and jazz people in particular, but I think it has
and
to
blues,
do with being dramatic.
Yes.
I think it's your performance clothes. But I don't know. I've always done that. Well, I say always. My wife, basically, she hands me clothes and says, wear this, and I just do that. But my instinct is to wear all black.
Well, you
the
see,
thing
you
is, because
we've
then
had
the
set,
people,
so
they focus on what you're doing, not what you're dressed on. See,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Wearing
and
black.
Then, there are some
and
artists that would dress up, you know, like, well, that's what they say, it's slimming, yeah. And there are some artists that dress up like, you know, outlandishly, like Peter Gabriel and, you know, Elton John.
You know what?
People like
I
that,
think
but
Peter Gabriel is a little bit of a genius. Don't you think?
Oh, he's very much so a genius. Well, I mean, what he does, though, in fairness, like, what he does on stage is like performance art.
It's exactly.
It's like Laurie Anderson or something. You know, it's like, you know, it's a visual show.
I still can't.
I don't really do that. You know, that's not really me. I don't really do visual storytelling through you know with the music
that would be a little bit difficult.
Well, it'd be hard for me as a blind person to really appreciate the visual side of storytelling, and secondly it's hard for me to maneuver all over the stage with cables and stuff everywhere.
Sure.
What I do though is I do use my body and my face to communicate, I'll shake my guitar or I'll do different things with my face, or I'll do, you know, I'll stomp the floor with my foot, or I'll do. So I add some physicality to it. But yeah, I don't really know. But that's a great question. Why do musicians always do black? I don't know, but most of us do, and it's not even something we talk about. Everybody just shows up.
But it's easier when you're touring too to have like an all black wardrobe.
Yeah, well,
you know
the other
I mean?
Thing is, I will say you know, depending on where we are. I will, like, oftentimes, if we're playing a bar, I don't really care. I mean, it's like, wear whatever you want. But on occasion, I'm like, okay, guys, dress code is this. And, you know, I tell them, like, this is what we're going to wear. Like, for example, if we're out on a hot, if we're out on a break, when we tour, I try to take at least 2 days in whatever city we're in. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes it's just one day. But I try to take 1 or 2 days for us to experience the community. And so I will say, hey, today we're going to go sightsee, but everybody has to wear their JSB shirts. You know, that's Joey Stuckey Band. So everybody has to wear the Joey Stuckey t-shirts because it's good promo for our shows. People say, hey, what are this, what's those t-shirt about? Oh, we're a band and we're playing here tomorrow night. You ought to come out. Yeah. So, or, you know, if we're playing a corporate party, it may be that suits are required. Like we have to wear our suits or you have to wear a tuxedo or it might just be that we wear what I call dress black. So we sometimes, you know, we do that. That's typically what I request.
Oh, that's it. That's it. We're putting I Want to Paint It Black.
Good song of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. And it is National Color Day. How about that? Nancy, that's for you. Yeah.
What is your favorite color?
Mm. Yeah, Nancy.
Oh, I don't
know. Because you're an artist, so you must have a favorite color.
No, I have too many. I like it when you mix colors together and come up with something brand new and you go, ooh.
Yeah. So how about, do you like the color Bermuda Sunset, which I understand is a flavor of crayon?
Oh, see, crayons make you want to eat the crayon.
Okay. But say when you say Bermuda, I start thinking golden.
Do they have a candy corn crayon? You need a candy corn.
Oh my gosh. That's a great question. So what about puce? Are you familiar with that color?
You just wanted to say puce.
Sounds like
you wanted to say puce. I swear to God, Joey, you just wanted to say that.
It's true. Well, I mean, it's true that I wanted to say it, but apparently it's a mixture of orange and gray.
Yeah. So there's puce and then there's fuchsia.
Yeah. Fuchsia is pink, right?
Yeah. It's pinkish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pinkish.
So I don't know anything about colors really, but I have studied marketing and studied what colors suggest, like calmness or what colors suggest energy, you know, some stuff like that. So my studio, because I want it to be a friendly, warm, inviting place, primarily is like, tans and yellows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then some red. Mm-hmm. And so.
Oh, red is power. And then yellows is friendship.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah. So that's what I try to. So it's got, we have some artistic energy in the space, mm-hmm. but we also have, warm, inviting, you know, comforting tones as well.
Do you know rose colors have different meanings?
I did not.
Yeah, they have different meanings. And back in the day, like certain ones meant, you want to have some nookie.
Yeah. Well, red still means that, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're,
like red roses and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
where apparently yellow roses are friendship, like friendship roses.
Yeah. Yellow, and that's, you know, doing the color thing, I used to make jewelry and do beadwork and stuff. And I'm allergic to metal. And so I can never really wear half the stuff I ever made, but I got stuck into the history of beads and then I couldn't pull out. It was like a rabbit hole of history that because different tribes in Africa and I know Native Americans too, different colors meant something. So they would make jewelry with messages.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, oh, I could do this and then have like the story. And so then it became, well, if you use like a cowrie shell was that was traded for a cowrie shell was money in slavery.
Well, it has different traded, connotations. You know,
human beings. Yeah. Everybody has a cowrie shell has so many different stories attached. And then it was like different shells. And then it was like, well, this color over here meant this because this is where this tribe was. And I mean, all kinds, you know, human tribes, right?
Yeah.
And
then there's also the theory of musical notes having a color.
Right?
Yes, this whole thing. Like, so it's green.
Artist Grazia did his thesis on it. It's a big deal. He said music and color go hand in hand.
Yeah. The synesthesia is a real interesting phenomenon. And that's
interesting to me.
There's a whole study of that, which I think is terribly fascinating. Of course, you know, a lot of people don't associate colors with music, but a lot of people do. So it's fascinating.
I remember my first thing about Color and Music of the little dots you'd put on your guitar, green to make this chord, the red to make that chord. This is your E string. This was your G string. What color is your G string?
Green.
You're a sick puppy.
I know. I'm so proud of it.
If it was purple,
too.
I'd really, you know, here it goes.
Well,
but colors
time,
are fascinating because
so
of royalty.
For a long time, as a blind person, people say, "What's your favorite color?" Or they say, "Do you care about colors?" And I really don't. But I have heard that I look good in black, and also that I look good in red. So I remember that. But for a long time, and my website was this color for a long time. Purple was my favorite color, and that comes from the fact that when I was 4 years old, I went to Disneyland for the first time. It was the first time I was really healthy enough to do anything, and we went to Disneyland for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, and I was enamored by the monorails that they had running throughout the park, and there was this one hotel where the monorails actually came inside through the hotel. In fact, they came through a crack. They came through a track in the ceiling in this restaurant where you were eating. And the monorail.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really, I mean, for a little kid, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And the monorails were just so cool and very modern and very sleek and very space age. And they're just really interesting. And so the monorail was purple. And so I always associated for a long, long time that excitement and wonder that I felt as a child at these monorails was associated with purple in my mind, even though I don't really know what purple. Even though I don't really know what purple is. So my website,
purple is
mixture of red and blue.
It's royalty because red and blue is royal colors.
Purple is like the ring.
I have heard. So then I started joking around and saying that I love purple because it was so versatile. It stands for spiritual peace. Mm-hmm. Royalty and gay pride. Mm-hmm. So I thought you got it all.
Yeah, gay pride.
You got everything you need with purple. And plus, Prince liked purple, so that's got to be something.
Listen, Prince,
purple haze.
I was just listening to Prince today, a song Peach, and I just go like, and I think about the span of music Prince did from jazz.
Oh,
so many people don't realize what a jazz artist he was.
Oh, he could do anything he wanted. I mean, he was great.
And the guitar, just the. Yeah, have you seen or heard? There was this recording out on YouTube of him doing a sound check and doing Summertime at the piano.
No, I haven't heard that.
Holy cow, man.
I'll check it out.
It is just everyone Google Summertime Prince sound check or just that.
Or Prince Summertime.
Oh my God. You just have that. He could play anything he wanted, you know?
Yeah, have you heard that? He had an album he released after he died. Called Piano and a Microphone, and boy, it's awesome.
Oh, I need to go get it. There's certain artists that you just can't really like. Robbie Robertson being gone, it's still very huge. Like I listen to, you know, his music all the time, and I know the band was such a big deal, and he really kept the band going. You know, well, he wanted to quit a lot because of the drinking and drugs and everything.
But,
what he did for Native American music is where I really got into him more than anything. And each individual member of the band to me did something incredible. But there's an album. I'm even trying to look it up because I just play it. I'm like, what is the album I always play? And it's a Native American, and he did this whole thing of the Cherokee, and it is the Red Road Ensemble, Music for the Native Americans. I think that's the one, because I just always play it. And
I got a chance. I have some clients that studio clients that are Native American, and they asked me to come on tour with them for a big festival called the Gathering of Nations, which happens in New Mexico.
Yeah, that's coming up. We just did a thing on that.
And so they said, will you come? Because I produced their three of their four records. And they said, will you come and play guitar for us? And also, you know, when we're not having guitar, play some, because I'm also I minored in percussion when I was in college, so I'm also a percussionist, although I'm
cool.
Certainly sort of low side of adequate on that. But I was good enough to do what needed to be done. And so we play some percussion and play. And so we did, and we actually opened for Robert Mirabal, who's an amazing.
Oh, God. He's amazing. Mirabal's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really a cool experience. And I got to buy a native drum while I was there. Like
cool.
You know, like the whole authentic experience and told the story of the drum. And I also got to hold an eagle. So that was kind of cool.
Oh.
Well, no, but you know, Robert Mirabal is like Carlos Nakai, and he's actually been on our show years ago. They're both way up there in Native American music, and we've had NAMI winner, Grammy winner, Evan Ozan on our show, and he went to the Grand Canyon as a kid with his flute money,
but
a flute. I mean, his flute, but his pocket money, and just started playing, like really is channeling. And we've actually done concerts with him and had him booked and stuff. And a fly could be flying away. He basically could
channels it
just
from
channel
somewhere.
And move his hands get the fly away, and it's still the notes are playing. I can't explain it. But the lights go out whenever he plays. The lights flicker.
Oh, they flicker.
He takes out entire systems when he performs.
Wow.
And now he's a pilot, and he's a downhill speed skater and stuff like that.
Yes.
But
interesting.
He's an amazing. I'll send you a link to his music. Evan
How old is
Ozan,
he now,
I think it's ozanmusic.com. Oh, he's in his 20s now. We knew him since he was like 9, 10, 11.
He's older.
His
than
mom.
That.
Yeah, he's got to be. Yeah, I mean, he would go around to schools and recreate powwows and, you know, and we did a lot with our magazine at one point. We started as a print magazine in San Diego in 97, then went to Beatstock Blend. So
he was a child when we met him, but he had a presence of like when he walked.
Yeah.
You don't get in his way. He wasn't mean.
Yeah.
There was just this, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this whoa. Like, this is somebody that is carrying a message, or he's got a mission. It's something special.
I want to go back to what you were saying because, Carlos Nakai is amazing. And then you've got Mirabal is this incredible performer who really kind of set the stage for Native American music that brought it to the white people masses, right? He
elevated
this level of performance, and they understand like hoop dancing and everything, obviously, but he kind of got people to understand and kind of push the Native American side out. And Native American performers and their music are very interesting how their rhythm is a different rhythm. And they do kind of also go, if they're going to, white people's music go into more, not white, I shouldn't say that because of blues being black too, but going into the blues, right? And they have this other rhythm in their drumming and a different lilt on the blues, but they'll do it. Like they love the Doors too. And they have this whole other way of doing it that it's interesting because all my Native American friends, like they love Depeche Mode and they love the Doors. And you'll hear them perform and this interesting, really interesting drumming pattern that is not your, this is the typical Native Americans. No, there is no typical, right? And you go to powwows and things and you hear how they do it by step and heartbeat. Step and heartbeat.
Also,
it's all that.
They also like interrupt themselves and change things when they feel like it. They don't
have like the wind. They're connected with nature.
They just go by pure feeling and thought, and one person will start something different in the middle of the song, and the others will follow along, and then somebody else will go,
if you're trying to incorporate Native American music into commercial pop music is very challenging.
That's what I was trying to say. It doesn't work that way, but but they do, it really can work.
I mean,
there's a different sound, and it's a different sound. It's like a whole, I almost want to say it should be its own genre because
it should
it's,
be. Absolutely.
The blues music that Native Americans play is this whole other sound. And
it's different than
and
blues,
even the rock,
blues.
Because they bring in this extra rhythm that's a different, it's really fascinating
Well,
to me.
Because
there's soul and there's a very, so like when you hear pure tribal Native American music, you can hear the emotion, right? There's this, the singing and it's community sound, right?
There's certainly a sort of primal quality there,
primal,
but there's also
tribal,
communal as well.
Communal.
Yeah.
And then when you take that, you could take the same musicians and then put them into a rock band. It's a different sound. Mm-hmm. And yet you can still hear it if you hear the roots music. Let's go to the roots music again. We talked about that last month, but go to that sound, what is their roots, right? And then you put it in the rock, pop, blues, the other side. They do bring that in from this one part into this. And it is a sound that no one else has. And I just feel like it's an untapped sound of like, it's a different branch of roots music of this is where we are now in this world. And these are the influences around. I mean, I know there's Native Americans doing hip hop and stuff too. So there's, and so that should be listened to because they bring this other element to the table that is different than other musicians, and it's just a different sound because of their culture, and it's a fantastic sound, and it's different and it makes you listen in a different way. So anyway, and just saying that, but I wanted to go to you, Joey, for what you go into the Gathering of the Tribes, right? So you know Steve Miller Band, right?
Of course.
Big old Jedi Light. We talked about this, and I know we talked about this on a previous podcast, but I really hope you will watch the documentary film Genghis Blues. This has got, let me get his name again. I got to go back to my notes. Paul Gerard Pena. He was a singer songwriter and he was also blind.
I didn't know that.
And yes, and he wrote Big Old Jetliner, right? And
I did not know that.
And he wrote that. He did a lot. He did stuff with the Grateful Dead, open for them, Zappa, all of that. He's done a bunch. And then he went. He did all this radio, shortwave radio stuff. So he was kind of like a geeky person sitting in like TuneIn Tokyo kind of thing, right? And no, not that way, Nancy. But you know, ham radios and stuff, shortwave radio, you know, listen to that, Joy. All right. So, anyway, he ended up getting on like some Russian radio thing and hearing Tuvan throat singing. And he went to Mongolia and here he is blind going to Mongolia. And he was really more of a blues musician and guitarist and stuff. And he went and learned Tuvan throat singing. And then
impressed with that stuff. It's so fascinating.
It is like you are, your voice is like the voice, the vocal instrument is, we've got many chambers in there. And like, if you listen to Janis Joplin, you'll hear she's singing a chord.
Yeah.
It is
does,
not
often.
A single note all the time. She can
can do 2 to 3 notes at the same
time. At one
time.
And it's about using your chambers and your voice and understanding and knowing them and taking care of them. Unfortunately, she did not, but this Tuvan throat singing is like you are creating a didgeridoo in your vocal cords.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
It is insane. But if you watch Genghis or listen for you, right? Genghis Blues, he goes to Mongolia and then they have this Tuvan throat singing, like the whole country comes out for this Tuvan throat singing. And it's very much like our Native American cultures, the sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes in and enters it, trying to do blues Tuvan throat singing and Greek blues. He tried to merge the two together. It's a very...
Wait, why not?
I remember watching it and then rewatching it. And it was back in the days when Netflix came on a disc. It was 99. I was looking at it now that it came out. And then I'm like, I got another day. I'm going to watch it again because I was so fascinating about the singing system of Tuvan throat singing and understanding. I mean, I think when you have more time than being all digital and all this fast paced life that we have, we miss these art forms that we already contain in ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, anyway, sorry, I go on rabbit holes with stuff like that. So anyway, moving along, October 23rd is National Boston Cream Pie Day.
Yay. Excellent.
I like
pie in
it.
The face.
Yeah.
I've never had it.
Oh, yes, you have.
It's nope. Delicious.
Yeah.
Is it?
You've had it. Yeah. Yeah.
If Nancy okay. says you've had it, you've had it.
Listen, here's another day. This is ridiculous.
I'll make you one and put it in your face and then you'll
okay. We all know that we have annoying coworkers, but this is slap your annoying coworker day. I'm not even listing this in the notes.
Oh,
that is not.
I can get behind that day, but I'm afraid that it would be, we live in such a litigious society. I'm afraid it would end you up in prison. That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you think you can fantasize about it, but you probably shouldn't do it.
Yeah, no, you probably should not.
There's a lot of Hindu celebrations going through this time of year too. And I love Hindu celebrations. They are just so colorful and so
absolutely.
The food. Oh, you kidding me? Like Diwali and I think when we do all these shows, it's just really interesting, you know, beyond the commercial food things and all that, to look at these international holidays and kind of like, ooh. What are they celebrating? What's important to these other cultures that are different than my own? You know, this one in Western India is, and I'm so sorry for not pronouncing this correctly, Mahanavami. I really am sorry for not pronouncing
it
correctly.
What is it
celebrating? Mahanavami. That's it. Mahanavami. It depends on the lunar date in the Hindu calendar. And it's when the goddess Durga destroyed Mahishasura, the buffalo monster, according to a Hindu legend. And so a lot of people do this as a symbol of good triumphing over evil. And
nice.
Don't we always love that? Yeah. So it's like kind of it's a positive thing. And so it's telling the stories of their lives. There's more. There's a lot of different ones here. It's all the same. They just have different names, actually, now that I'm reading it. It's a big deal, apparently. So that's a good one. The October 24th, Diwali. Oh, yes. I love Diwali. I mean, that's
where they have the colored powders, right? Isn't that the big thing?
No, that's holy. That's holy.
Okay.
Yeah, the Diwali is almost like it's the festival of lights. So like we're heading towards Hanukkah and so it's kind of the same kind of thing. It's a 5-day celebration celebrated by millions of Hindus, Sikhs, Jains, and it means Avali means row and Deepa means clay lamps. And so it's a row of lights, just similar to Jewish faith, you know.
Nice.
So fireworks, sparklers, it's about having light. So it's a celebration of historical events and religions. And I like anything with sparklers. I think they're cool. It's National Food Day. I mean, how do you have a National Food Day? What is it? Just go out and pig out? It's Farm Animal Welfare. National Bologna Day. You can keep that.
It's to appreciate food that you actually have a source to go get it.
Did you say National Bologna Day?
I did.
That's funny.
Not in like you're talking bologna. I mean,
why not? Well, why not? Why couldn't it be both?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just saying
they're talking about the meat.
You are what you eat. So if you're going to eat bologna, you're going to talk bologna.
Ew. Do you eat bologna?
There should be like
in South
a
Africa,
national...
it was called polony. Polony.
No, polony is a different meat than bologna.
All right,
it's two different things.
I do not eat bologna. I've never enjoyed it. I do, however, like some good fried Spam.
Well, that's going into the corned beef hash again.
Yeah,
Spam. Spam used to get a lot of that.
Spam.
Bologna is spam. Bologna is really not.
It's pink.
Boy.
And there's bitsies in
it's
it.
It's not
anything
really
with bitsies. No.
It's manufactured, made up meat.
No, we can. Okay.
This is a vegan holiday thing.
This is a food holiday I can get behind. It is National Jamaican Jerk Day. Not the jerk with Steve Martin, but
not
National
jerky?
Jamaican
Great
Jerk.
Movie.
Yeah, I love that movie. Is that
yeah, my
one of the
wife,
best in the
so my wife didn't realize that jerk chicken and stuff was very spicy.
Mm.
And she ordered some, and I thought, gosh, that seems out of character for Jennifer. She doesn't usually like things that are super spicy. And she ordered it, And it was so spicy. It was at a Jamaican restaurant. It was so spicy that it just lit her mouth up, and she couldn't get the pain to stop. She tried to play it cool in front of our friends, like she wasn't having a minor gastrointestinal issue. And so then they're like, "Oh, you're not going to eat your food." She's like, "Oh no, I'm just not hungry. I'm going to take it home." So then to keep trying to pretend that she wasn't, had made a horrible mistake, she put it in a doggy bag, put it in our car, and then forgot it. And so it smelled like jerk chicken for a week.
Yeah. Jerk chicken for you, jerk chicken for me.
Yeah, so I have to say, I'm not a fan of things super spicy like that. I had my first curry in the UK last year. It was a mild curry. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it wasn't like light your tongue on fire curry.
I love a good curry. You know what? Since you're going back to England, I want you to know that October 24th is World Tripe Day.
World what?
Tripe.
No,
The lining of the stomach of cattle, sheep, or pigs.
No, don't. They stop it.
Pick it up. I'll pass.
Stop it.
No. Stop it. Well, no, I mean, it's eating all of the animal.
No.
Right?
No.
Well, okay. I respect that, but still, I don't want it.
It's also National Kangaroo Awareness Day. Tie me down, kangaroo.
Oh, bouncy, bouncy.
So now, you know, Joey's are baby kangaroos.
Mm-hmm.
That's so right. We got a baby kangaroo.
I have always felt an affinity for kangas.
They're so cute. They're such an adorable animal.
Joey Roo from now on. It's Joey Roo is on the show.
I'm all about it. I'll say to Jennifer, like, "Hey, honey, I want to, when I'm feeling good, like, I feel bouncy today. You know, it's like when I'm not having some issues with my health. And so I'm like, I feel bouncy. I want to get out and do stuff today. I'm feeling bouncy. So I always think of myself as a kangaroo, jumping around. Cool. Mm. And I think if you know me well, you know, I am sort of, you know, pouncy, jumpy, happy, you know, weird kind of thing. So I like being equated with kangas.
Well, there you go.
Sweet.
We'll just call you Kangas Khan.
But they do box, which I found.
I have heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen it. And it's
they're mean when they do it. Yeah.
They bounce over to, one will bounce over to other and hard slap one to the face.
Yeah.
Hard slap one. Boom. Yeah. Smack in the face. And the other one will actually make a fist with its little paws.
Oh, nice.
And then they go boom, 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 boom. Like they tunnel, like they go boom, 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 boom. And they hit both hands curled into hands. And they hit at the chest.
Who's
the kangaroos? The kangaroo song?
Tie me kangaroo down, sport.
Yeah.
I can't think of it.
That's like Ray the Stevens. Most annoying song. I can't do it. I know. Listen, I'm moving on. Listen, this is better food here. We're going to talk about World Pasta Day.
It is my weakness. But unfortunately, because I'm trying to lose weight and become a thinner, sexier me, more importantly, a healthier. I've forswore pasta, so I eat cauliflower pasta now, which is not the same, but.
No. Let's talk about right now. We can live in the fantasy land. So we used to play jokes on people, phone pranks back in the day when you didn't have caller ID.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah. So we used to call people up, and this is our friends, Brendan and Marshall started this. Brendan is, by the way, an amazing musician. He's a sax player, keyboardist that played with Johnny Clegg and Savuka. And anyway, sad to see Johnny go, but we would call people up and say, "Oh, hello, would you like some ravioli or would you prefer some casual sex?" I don't know why this is so funny. And I don't know. Your refrigerator running didn't seem to make it into this joke, but casual sex versus ravioli, which one do you choose over like a really good ravioli? I don't know.
I'd have to say I'll take the casual sex, thanks.
Okay, so he can't eat the cauliflower cauliflower pasta.
But I
then.
I do love some good ravioli, and of course I love some lasagna because I'm a big Garfield fan too. Garfield loves lasagna, and baked ziti. That's good.
You just wanted to say zit.
Well, here's the thing. This is the honest to God truth. I have never met a pasta I didn't care for.
I love pasta. Good. I mean, there's like a texture thing if you do it right. Now, this is important. Today is National Chucky the Notorious Killer Doll Day.
Oh, okay.
Chucky.
I
don't like
it. And, all right, going back to food, and we got to get to music now, but it's National Greasy Foods Day, and we all love a good greasy something?
We do. And you can try to pretend that you don't, but you do.
Nancy likes her bacon. That's our big
bacon. I adore bacon. And we cook bacon so good in our house. Like, my wife's a great – everyone in this house cooks bacon except for me. Everyone in the house really cooks bacon right. And we even have good Jewish friends who come over and eat bacon with us because we do it right.
And it's not in their house. They won't put it in their house. They'll do it outside.
Right. Yep.
But bacon, just – I don't know if you cook it slow.
Everything's better with bacon.
And even –
a little grease is good. And I really like a good grilled cheese sandwich, like with a ton of cheese, with avocado and pickles in it. I know it sounds weird, I'm going to have that for dinner.
See, now bacon and avocado, so really good.
What about fried pasta? Leftover fried pasta is also a thing. By the way,
I've had baked lasagna. I mean, fried lasagna, fried ravioli.
You have the leftovers from the night before.
Yeah,
you fry it up, right? Yeah. You add some bacon on it. Nancy does this with pizza. This is some really good greasy goodness. Nancy will take leftover pizza, fry it up. Same thing as pasta. Fry an egg. Let the egg run over. Yeah. And you have the best breakfast, and you can have it with a cold beer if you are so inclined.
Well, you know, so I have to say this, we're talking about bacon too, and you know, bacon's good with everything. It's surprisingly good with peanut butter, which sounds ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. We talked about really this. Good. Elvis Burgers. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
Peanut butter, bacon, pickles. He does a banana. Bacon burgers with banana, I mean, with peanut butter and pickles. I'm not pregnant. I know, but I will eat that, and I will eat it with a smile. It is some good, good stuff. Good for you.
There's a slogan in there somewhere.
I know. It is also International Artist Day, and artist is one of the things that we're talking about today, and Fine Art Appreciation Day. The world of art is important. So, Joey, for you, is sculpture something that you can make head or tails of? Like, if in feeling, you're not allowed to touch the art. Don't touch the art.
It's
got boobs. I'm touching it.
heck yeah. I'm touching it. Yes. Anything with boobs is going to be touched. People don't like to be groped like they used to. The truth of the matter is that, you're really not allowed to touch sculpture a lot of times. When I was a kid, and we were in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, actually. And we were touring where they had the Liberty Bell. The tour guide said, "Oh, you're blind. Would you like to feel the crack in the Liberty Bell?" I was like, "Yes, I would."
I beg your pardon?
That's right. I feel my crack. And so, I did. I got to touch it. But nowadays, they wouldn't let you do that. And, there were some sculptures in the Louvre. They do allow you to touch, which is nice. It just depends on where you are. So I do like sculpture. If it's really a big sculpture that you can't feel without climbing up on a ladder or something like that, that's not a problem. So smaller is better, I think, guys. But yeah, I like sculpture. If I was going to do any sort of visual art or whatever, I would probably do sculpture. But it is fascinating. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll get a model, or a little souvenir of the sculpture that I can feel, and get some approximation of what it really is.
What it's about.
Joey's always feeling something.
I am. I'm always,
there you are.
I mean, as Clarence Carter said, I be stroking.
There you touch are. Me.
There you go, Rocky Horror Show again.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Susan Sarandon has done some crazy roles.
Oh, I know.
You know,
she's cool.
You know, she drank part of Aldous Huxley's burial remains, his ashes. At Burning Man one year.
Apparently she needs some therapy. Because
no,
that's,
Susan Sarandon,
that's kind of sicky.
Is no, they she went to Burning Man, and that's where he wanted some of his ashes, and so they did this ceremony for Aldous Huxley, and they drank wine and put some ashes in, and so she drank him.
Okay, I wouldn't do
anyway,
it.
I wouldn't do it.
Do you know there's Bitsies in there? I'm not good with
keep
Bitsies.
Keep your ash yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Keep your ash to yourself.
Come on, that song is annoying, man. Sorry.
Well,
not now.
Are, that's just
we
just,
no, that we just wasn't fixed Billy it. Ray Cyrus. That was George no. Satellite, right? George and the Satellites?
Yeah.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was George and Satellite. Billy Ray Cyrus.
And keep
Don't
your
break
hands
my
to
heart.
Yourself.
Talk
don't
about,
let
we were
achy
talking
break
about,
your heart.
Are we talking about One Hit Wonders again, like we did in the last episode?
Achy
yeah,
break
yeah.
your heart.
Boom.
No, he's still going. Did
yeah.
George and the Satellites, did they keep going?
Both his children are, I don't know. Both his children are in the music business as well. So,
and it's really
that's
fascinating
cool.
Because they're so different.
Radically yet, different.
Yeah, really.
But that's
like,
good.
And,
yeah,
and I remember listening to Miley Cyrus talking about her sister and going, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
And but Miley's got an incredible voice, I think.
Yeah, you know, she's I won't say that I enjoy listening to her, but I will say that she is compelling. She's just
her
not,
backyard
she's just not
sessions.
My cup of tea. Yeah,
if you go to her backyard sessions, go to
yeah,
her backyard sessions. Those
I mean,
are some more real down-home, earthy stuff
well, I mean,
where
she
sings.
The thing is, it's not that she's not talented. She's very talented, and she's very compelling. There's a presence to her, but I just don't enjoy listening to her. I mean, it's not... It's no disrespect.
It's
to
a
her,
little
she's
harsh.
Very talented.
It's
yeah.
a little harsh.
Just not.
And,
just
but
not
that's
how
why
I,
the backyard yeah. sessions to me were
she's,
better.
She's young.
More relaxed.
She's young.
Yeah, she's young.
Well,
and she's got it.
She needs to mellow.
She
needs to mellow.
She's finding her way around life, right? So she's
exactly.
coming of age.
She's got to be close to
celebrity.
40, hasn't
she? Yeah, but I mean, coming of age and celebrity status, all the Hannah Montana
really,
and all that crap.
That's really tough. That's really tough to be so young.
Keep your head and not.
Yeah.
Most people, as a young celebrity, child star, they get so screwed up. I mean, Drew Barrymore always talks about it. I mean, all
oh,
of them. When
yeah, it's a terrible
hell,
idea.
It is not good. I really don't think it's. I mean, there's a
I
few
don't
that
think
can
the
get
parents,
out of it.
If I were the parents, I wouldn't allow it until they hit an age that they could cope with it.
And understand
well, until
this
they
is what
actually,
it
is. Now here's the thing. It's did the kid ask for it or did the adult push it?
That's
yeah.
Well, I think in often cases it's the latter. I mean,
we have a weird thing too on the podcast. People are like, oh, there's this kid coming up. And I'm like, I don't know if we want the kid on the show. And publicists, you know, and we know certain publicists together. They're like, how do you feel about this? I'm like, I want the parent on. If a kid's coming on, the parent comes on.
Needs to
I
be
agree.
With
I
them.
Totally agree. That
I will
good
not
sense.
Do, we will not do it because it's Ever
no,
knows him. We were
setup.
Talking about him earlier.
No, it's
very
a
young.
Setup.
He came
it's
on shows,
prepared.
But it was we
it's
did
a
more
setup.
Of a. It was to, we worked with his mom, Faith, through everything, and we were very. Now he's an adult and everything, but it was very much a family, like a real deal. It wasn't. She wasn't pushing her kid to do stuff.
Right.
They're very. Balanced
also,
down to earth people.
I mean,
you know, it wasn't the
I mean,
glitz and the glam.
Well, you've got to balance between supporting a child's aptitude for something versus having the child participate in an adult reality. And you can't, you know, you need to support them. But when a child says, I want to do this, I want to do that, I mean, they're children. And frankly, they're not able to make good, rational
Dude,
decisions.
Dude, I wanted to be a nun. Are you kidding me? I wanted to be a housemaid. I wanted
be,
to be a nun.
They would be singing, what would we do with a nun like Maria if you were a nun?
You know, what we did?
Yeah.
You know what we did?
Because
I used to teach art at... No, I taught art at a convent. And
this is in Kenya.
So and in Kenya, and I had to get permission to go from the papal enunciate who flew out to bless us and me and let me go behind, because they were cloistered nuns behind bars, not in jail, but still behind bars. And so I got blessed so that I could go actually teach them where they could see what I was trying to teach them.
Interesting.
And yeah. And so it, and it was, and then one, we kidnapped a nun, took her to our house because she'd never been outside the compound.
Wow.
And so we're like,
was she born into it?
No.
Okay, wait. This is the wildest story.
This is the weirdest thing.
This is the wildest story ever. So I ended up in convent with these sisters. They were Carmelite barefoot nuns. So that means that they were behind bars. They didn't go out in public either to get mail, and they grew their own food and everything.
Yeah.
Crazy. Nancy taught them. That's why she had to get blessed to go behind the bars. And at the same time, nuns were being, graduated into full nunhood, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sister Margaret, Margaret was this amazing nun who took me around, and I wanted to be a nun. They gave me the little thing on
they cut a hole.
They gave me like the headdress thing.
But
and then
the mother wouldn't let them give her the veil.
No, they cut a hole in it.
They put a hole in it.
They let me taste the bread and all that, and I didn't do very well with that because I thought it would actually be bread,
you
and it wasn't.
Spit it out right in front of them.
Don't tell people that on a Sunday show.
Well, you did. You did.
God. Anyway, oopsie. Anyway, so I want to do all this, but I was in a convent because the school before that, I was a little kid in Kenya, right? And Nancy put me in a multicultural school, and I made it multicultural because I was the only white kid. And I got picked on. And we've done shows with other people being on the other side of the coin, and they're like, what, a white person got picked on? I'm like, oh, yes. So it was Indians, like Asian Indians from India.
They were
different
horrible.
Tribal black people. No, they weren't. But they did mess with me. The teachers taught me the best math on the planet. And those teachers were so smart. And I was, what, 5, 6 years old, and I could tell you my 12 times table. And
nice.
No, really, really smart. However, there was this little kid, little Oli Oli Tip Tip, and he kept spitting on me, hitting me, trying to slap me down, lift up my shirt because I was blonde, had long hair, and he didn't understand this, and I was white. And that was a whole other mystery. Let me finish. So he kept hitting me, and then one day I turned around and smacked him back.
Hard slap one.
Yep. Because he hit me, and he was just trying to make me shorter. The spitting is a Maasai thing of like a blessing, like, I don't know what the hell you are, so I'm like blessing you that you don't hurt me. Well, that didn't work. And he was lifting the shirt up to see if I was a male or female. Because the women, the Maasai tribe have the women shave their heads, the men have long braids, which is really, with mud. And so he didn't know what I was. And then he kept hitting me. And so I turned around and hit him. Well, I hit the Minister of Home Affairs' son. The guy had over 50 wives, over 100 kids.
So,
and I was asked to leave. And there's a whole other story where the guy who ran that school and a whole bunch of others, the Druids and Druid, took Nancy aside and told her she needs to get a goat head, gave her this stinky little bag thing, and told her to get a goat head, bury it under the back door porch thing. Like so many times a day. And because we have all these troubles coming
up. Oh my God, I'm right on it. I'm going to go do that right now.
Piss on the goat head. So then Nancy goes, okay, that's it. I'm teaching the nuns. You're going to the convent. So next thing you know, it goes from learning your maths and knowing all this stuff. And next thing you know, you're getting the knuckle slap. But Sister Margaret, this is the most amazing story. So Sister Margaret was like a mentor. Like, as a kid, I learned all about gardens. I learned my alphabets better. I learned so much from her. And anyway, fast forward to now, like what, 20, when we started our magazine, 97, 98. At 97 is when we started in San Diego, print magazine, just northeast San Diego. And the Oceanside Harbor, we had all these clients, you know, running out there, getting their ads and everything. And I had taken a road trip. We were expanding to the Southwest, and I had this appointment with Rosa, and she had the Ye Old Hawaiian Hut store, which I know is not there anymore, but maybe she sold it. But this is like a 97, and she was at retirement, definitely at retirement age. And I went in for her to renew her ad and get the artwork and everything. And she says, "Oh, Lisa." And at that time, I still had a very thick accent from living in South Africa, which was after Kenya. And says, so everybody knew like our story of living in Africa and everything. And she goes, "Lisa, you'll understand what to do. Maybe you can help me here." I said, "Sure. What is it?" She goes, "I'm trying to send a package to Kenya." And I said, "Well, good luck with that." Because, you know, basically at that time, you can send it there and people will say, "Oh, that looks good. I'm taking it for myself." And she said, "Well, that's the problem. I'm sending this. I keep sending these packages to my best friend. I send her a nightwear, books, you know, all these things, toiletries that she needs." And it turns out it's Sister Margaret.
Wow.
They were best friends.
That's crazy.
In Philadelphia. Go back to Philadelphia where you were. They were best friends in high school and they were 15, 16 years old. And, she was an orphan, Sister Margaret. She was born out of wedlock or whatever you want to say. And at that time, the Catholic Church was sending out those girls because you came from a, you know, you're a bastard child, basically, off
right.
you go.
Yeah.
And so Rosa, my client, wanted to go with her and her parents wouldn't let her go. But she would say that she would sneak in to the orphanage at the Catholic place and get in bed with her. And they were like close little friends, you know. And I mean, not get in bed weird, like it's true human support.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah. I just have to be very clear about it. And she just, this is her best friend and they kept in touch all these years. I almost fell down and she almost fell down.
And so that was your friend that had never left the convent.
That's the one that Sister Margaret
left.
And I'm like,
that's
when
we kidnapped her.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Interesting.
Is that not a small world story?
That's crazy.
I know. And we kidnapped her and took her around Nairobi so that she could see where she actually lived.
And we took her to our house so she could meet our dogs.
Yeah. And so she could.
Apparently that was important to us, that you need to know our dogs. You know, here we are, pet sitters.
So we stole her and then we brought her back. And then the Mother Superior, like 2 days later, called me over and said, "I know what you did." I'm like, "What do you sound like? What's his name?" Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. You know, "Oh, make my day, punk." And that brings us up to the next thing of the day is punk for a day. See, good segue, Nancy. Well done.
That was
good
beautifully one. Done. Beautifully
that
done.
That was stealth. That was a sneak attack. No, but
that was immaculate.
The world is small, people. And it does exist that way. And don't hit people in school. You might get in nursery school. You might get expelled.
You can't hit people.
And you might have to pee on a goat head.
Well, I was, my mother always talked to me a lot and taught me how to be rational. My father too, but I was, there was a little girl that, in kindergarten was attacking me, jumping up and down on me and knocking me over and all this stuff. And I tried to rationalize with her and tell her that people were to love, not to hurt. Mm. But it did no good.
It's like that sometimes.
But
and then,
you bring up the punk. I think that's an interesting musical genre. And I'm glad that Lisa comes up with all these amazing things to talk about. And what I think is so cool about it is, because we're talking about school, we're talking about formative years, and you know, punk music really was about annoying the parents. That was really its mission. It became political and was about, you know, political statements and things like that. But you know, initially, it really, I think, started with the Sex Pistols. And their goal was just to annoy everybody. And, you know, initially they were a marketing, stunt. They didn't really play any of their instruments very well. Eventually, of course, they learned how to play their instruments and had some very seminal records that were important, for punk music movement. But yeah, I mean, it's punk has a really interesting lifespan, and a lot of interesting artists, and it's a really cool art form. I can't say that I do a lot of it, here, but I think to me the British punk scene with bands like The Clash, the Sex Pistols, Buzzcocks, they were the start of it, and then we took our own sort of crack at it here in the States with bands like the Ramones. And punk was a very simple art form. Two or three chords was all you had to have. And that was it. And it was more about energy and angst and being loud. So it's very cool. So I sent Lisa some good punk rock songs, I think.
Yeah, you did. And that we're going to have a nice playlist with this. And the punk, when we got to England between our life in Kenya. We went to England, then went to South Africa, and we lived in England, and it was the early 80s, right in the height of the punk scene. So everyone's walking around with piercings and mohawks and everything. And I was like, we just left Africa. They're white people doing all this tribal stuff.
Like Africa.
Yeah.
And the music to me was interesting. And it was like, it's like white person hip hop in a way, right? Not hip hop, like the music's not the same, but it's like blues, right? It's another form of anti-establishment. It wasn't just about parents. If you listen to The Clash, they were against what was going on with the oil scene.
There became a lot of moral and political statements made through punk.
Right. And it kind of took the hippie era.
Yeah.
And it was a really weird. I find this. Yeah, it isn't like the hippie era, and they just said, listen, you're being too like la la la, screw this shit. And we have rock and roll, and heavy metal was at the beginning too. You got to think about what metal was doing at the time of history of this. And then you get punk, and rock and roll is like, what? And then what the hell? Here we come with disco. What the heck is going on?
What's really fascinating is that
pop.
Right after punk, there was like the post punk era, which became new waves. So
weird, and then it went electronic, right?
Which is really fascinating because we were talking, you and I were chatting about this on Messenger the other day, that we were saying that, Blondie was a big part of the New York punk scene.
Yeah.
But when you listen to their music, you hear a lot of disco, you hear a lot of rock, you hear some punk, you hear reggae. So they really expanded way beyond all that because they were riding the time between punk and new waves. And there was a real blurred line there of genres. So it was amazing.
What about the Pretenders? See, to me, the Pretenders came in and they had one of those moral messages too, even though they're a rock. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, they had that edge of punk.
Yeah, yeah. Punk I would definitely ability. Call Joan Jett more on the hard rock side.
I know, but there was still that. Yeah, the Buzzcocks. And then you got Sid Vicious and all of that too. You got to think about. Dude, that was some crazy shit going down.
A high, really dysfunctional lifestyle. I mean,
really?
Just
it just made me swear. I mean, I mean, but I think a lot of some of the, I mean, our friends, Michael and Spider did the music for the show. Sadly, Spider has passed, since, but, they had a glam rock band, punk rock band in LA. Did I just hear that? I did. I heard your cat.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. It's getting to feeding time. She wants corn candy. I want candy. Like that. Okay. Think about that song.
The version that we all know, it was actually a hit from the 60s, but Bow Wow redid it in the 70s or the 80s, I should say.
Yeah. Mm. It's crazy when you kind of think how it shifts and stuff, but our friends Michael and Spider had a Red Wedding and Hey Taxi, and Red Wedding was this band where, they were doing this punk. I mean, I should send you some of this stuff. It's like, it's glorious. But in LA, being openly gay at that time, also people they were attacked for it in a lot of different ways to the point of somebody just stole their cat and hung it and put it on their doorstep in a shoebox with a noose around its neck.
Terrible.
Jesus, so they said, screw this. Well, that's, you know, you know, when people think about gay pride and everything in the last episode, we were talking about, you know, drag and everything. You have no idea, like, if you're that against you, what people have gone through to continue who they are as human beings. These are prolific musicians and ended up moving to Tucson. And then they started doing soundscapes, like meditational yoga style music, but it had this jazz
beautiful
and all this
music.
Cool,
it's interesting.
They went from
I mean,
one to the other extreme, which I find fascinating.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I've never understood, you know, persecuting someone else for their life choices. As long as they aren't hurting people and they're not hurting me, that I don't care.
Yeah.
Do whatever you
Neither
want.
Neither do I.
And I just can't understand why you want to force other people into a narrow shoebox. And I have been discriminated against as a blind person, and in my early childhood, in particular, as I got older, I stopped caring. But I don't really care anymore. Mm-hmm. But as a child, you know, I mean, people were like, either I was too blind or not blind enough. I mean, it's like, you know, if I did something amazing with the limitations I had, that was annoying. If I wasn't able to do something, then that was annoying. You just couldn't win. And you know, I was bullied several times at school and a lot of stuff like that. But you know, people are incredible, and I'm so grateful for our diversity, and so grateful for all the different ways people have found to make life vibrant and beautiful and amazing and worthwhile. So it's so sad when you think about, you know, somebody wanting to harm somebody else because they love differently or they look different or they, it's a shame.
But it's
really more, it's more about them not believing in themselves than it is
fear
anything
of
else.
The unknown.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's a lot of that. You're right. And of course, there's people that like want to exert control over everything. It's so interesting to me that, I find most of the time when you have a negative experience, it's somebody projecting on you all their insecurities, all their fears, all their hatreds rather than actually, you know, anything to do. It has nothing to do with you.
No, it doesn't. It's just, you know, you get to be the sounding board.
But the punk era was about people finding, you know, there's a frustration from the establishment, right? And it's not
absolutely
just, like you're saying, the government.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, we are like that in our country, and we're like that around the world. We are going through this dominance of control of our governments that people don't like.
It's fascism in a lot of cases.
I mean, Rage Against the Machine, right? That's the one of the most, the best.
It's about
titles, band names.
You know, you have to be rich. You have to be rich to get into office. Therefore, if you're in office, you're a rich person. You do not represent the rest of us.
I
have a friend whose father, and you know politics in the South, Joey, you know, better than us probably, you know. And her dad actually changed religions just to get elected. And I'm going, dude, like, seriously.
Well, you know what
I mean? And he was a preacher. Right. So I'm just saying, there's stuff like, you know,
that person.
like in this country where the presidents, and I haven't seen them the last few, but presidents going out and hunting to get the hunters on their side and stuff like, I'm just going, and then you're going to go kiss a baby. It's kind of this weird thing that we have about, and I think music plays this role of telling the truth of the people and punk.
Yeah.
Punk, blues, hip hop, reggae, even, right?
Yeah,
rap,
yeah.
All of this roots music. Like, there's anger and frustration. And if you've got to channel anger, do it through music more than anything.
Absolutely.
Heavy metal does it too. Heavy metal is totally an establishment too. But heavy metal, you'll see most heavy metal people and hard rockers, they're more religious than you would ever expect.
But you understand the establishment is afraid of who do that.
It's the anti-establishment blues, man. Mm. But it's
And to Nancy's point earlier whenever, you know, she was saying you have to be rich to get in office and the arms of people. You know, I think that's really, really true. And what's even yep. scarier for me is that if you think you are the only answer
yeah.
to the problem, that mm-hmm. yeah. that's not a balanced perspective, and it should make you afraid. And yeah. you know, mm-hmm. one of the things that I really people in this country, we have a lot of people who talk about the Constitution. Well, if you really want to talk about the Constitution and you really want to make things work the way the founding fathers intended, then you would serve your term and go back to farming. Mm-hmm. Our political office was never meant to be a career. It was meant to be service.
Yeah, and, yeah, that's career politicians. Like, you know, it wasn't a mm-hmm. few months ago that Dianne Feinstein in her 80s couldn't actually place a vote.
She couldn't even vote.
Mitch McConnell couldn't even make a statement. No offense to either one. Both parties. Right. What are you doing still standing there? It's not fair to our youth. And that's when the punk era was the youth saying,
yeah.
screw you, you're not thinking
of
us.
Now we have our voice heard. That's right.
We do yeah. have a newer punk era in a weird way, but it comes in different forms, right? So we did an interview with you know the band LA Guns?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we had I'm just seeing if the Brutalists actually come up on the band. The Brutalists there. So Mick Cripps you know, is one of the founding members, and he came on our show a couple times, and he left LA Guns and created the Brutalists and started talking about brutalism. And it's a form of architecture. And then once you get this, you understand what, like, there's parts of England and you'll see this, you know, well, maybe not, you know, but you'll get it in that, it's like what we've actually done with developers and everybody having the same little apartment blocks, and you go into poorer neighborhoods. And, you know, you're all living in these little boxes, basically, right, on the little boxes on the hillside. Now we have richer little boxes, right?
Right.
And these, you know, so brutalism was, you know, if you go to Ireland, England, you go here in the States, you have these row houses of people living in poverty in really, you know, the HOA housing stuff and all of that, like those little, not HOA, what are they called? FIHA, I don't know, whatever it's called. Lower income housing where you're all living on top of each other, and like they want to say, oh, you're in the ghetto, you're this and that. Well,
right
here they are, but you're all living in this monochrome. This is how you're going to live. This is how you're going to operate. And so it's a form of architecture called brutalism. And it is not interesting. It is the most depressing architecture
that
you can think of. And it's not. It's post-punk what they're doing. Ska, reggae, rock.
Yeah.
What they're doing with the Brutalists.
Right.
Encourage people to listen. I'm going to add that. I was just looking and see that they're on Spotify because they're really good. And it's about, like, we're doing it again. We haven't learned our history. You know, it's important to go in our history. And
it is punk, so important. History is very important. And that's why I'm so disappointed with some of the decisions being made about banning books and all these things.
Oh, my God. Banning books, women's rights.
That is so stupid. Only a moron does that.
I mean, if you're so afraid, if you don't think that you've raised your children to be rational, kind, thoughtful people, then, and you think that one book is going to turn them into some monster, then, man, you've got some problems.
I don't want somebody who is that fear mongering to represent me. There's no way.
Well, that's right. And, you know, we have scientific data that proves that our brains don't work effectively when we're afraid. And when we're afraid, you don't make good decisions.
So
it's just, I think living in fear is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Living in hope is a much better idea. Mm. And, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't say tell the truth. I'm not saying you should sugarcoat things, but I am saying that, you know, this banning of books is just, that's the beginning
ridiculous.
Of the end. That's the beginning of the end.
That's ridiculous. Changing history.
That is actually a form of dictatorship. And anybody whoever subscribes to that is somebody looking to be part of the upper class that says who gets to do what.
That is not what
they're too, they don't get it. Well, not smart enough to see what's happening, changing
kids' textbooks with false history.
That is just so. I mean, it makes me feel truly physically ill to think about it.
Yeah.
Because this is not. Okay, so we talk about our founding fathers. I say our founding fathers and mothers are on a spiritual plane, right? That's the spiritual side, nature. Everybody's got their religions and spiritual beliefs. So I go there. That's our founding of humanity and life. And the founding people of this country are indigenous people, right?
Absolutely.
So here we come on our boats and like, we're going to just do this, do that. But it was in the pursuit of freedom and liberty and justice for all. Now, we're going to tell you how to live.
Right.
And both sides are doing it to each other. Both political parties are doing it. No one is making sense. And in the middle, at the same time, we have the rich people at the top and we are losing our middle class, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Very rapidly. And we do so many interviews on with all the documentary filmmakers. I just want to give them the biggest shout out of love and thank you and gratitude for what they do because they get the interviews on the ground. Nancy and I are on the ground traveling the country and we're in people's homes. So we have these immersive experiences. And what we're learning is that families are divided. I used to say, you know, it's a lot better than what people think on the news. What is you're not seeing on the news is how divided families are, how they're crying, how they're upset. Their brothers, their sisters, their loved ones, even husband and wives are divided right now in this country.
Yeah, you're right.
It is, you know, music tells the truth. That's why the punk music is such an important thing. You may not like it. It's not something you play to have dinner to.
Well, it's not pretty.
It's not pretty, but it's not meant to be. It is about getting the angst, the anger, the upset out so that it doesn't cause, because that negative energy, which is caused by rage because you're being hurt, your trust is broken in your life. You know,
this
is what politicians don't see. You've broken trust.
They don't care.
The actual people of your country that share the same country.
And it's helped. You know, as much as I'm very much about affirmation, as you know, but as much as I like keeping a positive attitude, a joyful spirit and a grateful heart, I mean, saying that you're frustrated, saying that you don't like something, talking about what's wrong are all healthy, important things.
If you don't, it's going to get worse.
How do you make change if you don't admit there's a problem?
That's right. And that's one of the reasons that I like to actually, this is sort of a side tangent, but that's one of the reasons I like to use the word disabled because the reason I like to use it is twofold. One, it allows me to take any negative power out of the word. Because I use it, so it can't be used against me. And then secondly, it's because I am physically unable to do certain things. That's just the reality of it. It doesn't mean that I feel bad about myself or I feel like I'm less than, because I don't. But there are some facts that I have to recognize, like I can't drive. There's certain things I can't do. And I think if we can't be honest about it and use words that reflect the situation, then there's no way to come up with a solution.
Well, you face things head on, right?
Yeah. I think
you've got to hug the monster. You have to hug the monster to move forward.
Absolutely.
It's like the best way for it is to go through it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it. And I think, you know, Nancy and I stand up for principles, which we lose clients over and we don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
It's true because there's always somebody that is aligned with you around the corner.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes it is okay to close doors, but
absolutely.
I always try to bridge gaps where you can. But if the other side is not willing, and sometimes it takes a few years. Everybody's at a different growth stage in their life.
That's exactly
sometimes
right.
Sometimes somebody could be very close-minded that you think, oh, I really want them. They're not ready. And maybe you're not ready for their stuff either. So we're all going to put ourselves in that. We've all screwed people over at some point.
You know,
done something wrong, hurt someone's
feelings. Whether you meant to or not,
exactly. We don't know.
My dad was disabled since I could remember. He had a lung disability, so physically he looked fine.
Yeah.
He couldn't breathe. He couldn't walk across certain rooms like I'm in a 12-by-14-foot room. He couldn't walk across this room.
Yeah.
So he was in a wheelchair, but he didn't have any signs of being disabled. And it was really interesting how he was treated, because he didn't seem like he should have been missing a leg or an arm or something.
He didn't meet people's expectations of what they thought disability was. Yeah.
Exactly. And so it was really difficult. Like when we had to go shopping, oh my God, that was the worst experience ever. Because, okay, you wheel him in and he's telling you what to pick off the shelves and people are frowning at him. And then when he went to pay for groceries, he had to try and stand up.
Right.
And sometimes you couldn't get the wheelchair between the counter.
I know. I was in a wheelchair for about 7 months. I know what you mean.
Yeah. And so people would be all scrambling. Then they look at him like, well, what the hell's wrong with him anyway? You know, and they couldn't understand breathing disorder versus a physical thing that you could see is obviously wrong. And it was soul destroying. And I saw, I hate to say it, but more cruelty out of people than I ever saw kindness.
And
I equated it to stupidity. And I'm trying to not say it that
ignorance.
Way.
Yeah. Same thing. It is true. It is true. And that is why, as we've said before, it's so important to travel and see new ways of doing things. Even if you don't adopt those ways, it helps you not judge a book by its cover, for lack of a better cliche.
And you're never alone in any issue that you have. You're never alone.
That's the other thing about music. I feel like music has such a powerful role in the human experience, because it is about, artists are historians, but they're also forward thinkers. And so it's really important. Music has the ability to break barriers where there are barriers and to expose you to new ideas and new thoughts and new ways, but also to remember the past. Mm-hmm. So that's why music's so important, because it's this thing that can really, you know, open your ideas.
The arts, because no one can, to other than banned books, which is really the worst thing, right?
Oh, it's awesome.
Own thing that people could tell you, oh, this, or don't like, you know, oh, what's your guilty pleasure? Oh, screw you. If I like something, I like something. It's not
absolutely
a guilty pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Screw that. I hate that term. I hate it. Unless it's talking about food and I'm going off of what I'm not supposed to eat, fine. But
that's
if it's
okay.
music
Every once in a while,
or a TV show or
so
something.
What?
Oh, well, yeah. My guilty pleasure is watching The Bachelor. No, it's not. Actually, I don't. But this happens to be what you like, you know? So
my guilty
what?
Pleasure has to be watching Below Decks Mediterranean, which is
I have no idea
the greatest, the greatest trash television. If you're sick one day and you need something in the background going on, but nothing that you have to take to heart, and you don't feel like you're too lazy to get up and find the remote, change the channel, it works okay.
Well, you know, everybody's got that stuff, but I'm saying music really does. Like, if you're upset about something, there is a song for it that will connect with you emotionally.
Absolutely.
And it's not what the songwriter really, like, oh, they may have an intention when they wrote it, but
it's
something maybe personally, it's yours to make. It's a co-creative experience. And even though you have a song memory, right, that song you'll always think of maybe dancing with this person or maybe being, you know, someone passed away and this song really solaced you. It's going to be different every time, because you're always in another situation.
It's funny because, you know, that's the great thing. People say, well, what is this song about? I was like, well, it's about whatever you want it to be about. It's, you know, you take it, make it your own. My initial intention was this, but whatever it means to you is fine with me.
It's
the same with art, you know, like when people buy a painting, what I intended was I painted it because that's what I want to paint. What the person who buys it sees is something totally different. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Hey, but you feel something. I mean, there's, you know, we on the last episode, we were playing The Ghost of Tom Joad. Every time I hear that song, I literally cry. I cannot help it. I just, you know, because I know it's, you know, it just all the homeless situation that we have in this country, and people that are experiencing homelessness and No, Nancy and I choose to be homeless. There's a different thing.
And anything kids you choose going is through okay it. With me.
Choose choices.
You know, it's all about choice. It's all about,
choice.
We see people living in on freeway medians in tents. They're in the median and they're at risk and they're in tents. And then we see them on the hillsides.
And that music, that's why to me, it's a real song and it was done so many years ago. And that's what aches my heart. And yet at the same time, why it's heartbreaking, it's also a solace. It's a very weird thing. You know,
music can have cognitive dissonance. It can have, two different things happening at the same time. I have to say, I think it's important to hear songs about homelessness and things like Another Day in Paradise, Phil Collins. It's important because honestly, I don't think we've made any progress. I mean, I started being aware of homelessness in the 80s. I don't think it's gotten any better from what I can
tell. Look what Robin Williams tried to do. Whoopi Goldberg back in the day, Robin Williams. The arts, comedians.
And
listen.
Billy Crystal. Don't forget Bill Crystal.
Oh, Bill Crystal. Yeah. And the comedians, I want to give a big shout out to them because there's no way on earth we survive without comedians.
Oh, my God.
And to censor them, they need to stop it.
If you don't like it, don't listen. But leave them alone.
Exactly.
Leave them alone.
I mean, I started this show with a little bit of a naughty joke, but like, it's just not that bad. It's up to you guys how to take it.
I'll tell you something. I really feel like, if you are looking to be offended, you will be.
Of course.
I feel like in most situations, being offended is like your choice. Not always. There are some times that people do things that are mean and cruel and you can't take any other way. But I would say a lot of times if people that get offended are people that are looking to be offended.
I agree.
They think their way is the highway and the rest of us should get off.
Absolutely.
This should always be this color and that should always be this color and that should always be this sound and that should always be this because I said so.
Absolutely.
I'm like, really get over yourself. No,
let's try joy and happiness and have some positive. Mm-hmm. Like, just go, hey, I'm about to say this or that. Let's just
love and happiness.
We're supposed to be nice.
Well, let's all talk at once.
but we're supposed to be nice to each other. We're supposed to have each other's back.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're all on the journey together, man. We got one planet. I mean.
Yeah. And we need to fix it.
We sure do. It has been hotter. I mean, it's brutally hot. And anyone that says there's no climate change, oh my God.
We're going to ignore it. We're just going to
We've been through it.
It and leave it to the rich people in Congress who don't care.
And can't even use the internet. For Nancy and I, we have been through areas that we've gone back year after year, and the weather has changed significantly in the same time, the same year, because we do pet sits repeats, and some people go away at the same time every year. And it's bizarre. I mean, one area that was cool had tornadoes and heat waves, and we could barely do podcasts. People want to do Zoom video. I'm like, please stop. I'm dying in 95 degrees, because I can't run an air.
I want to be sweaty and naked. I don't need you to see that.
Yeah, really. I'm like, seriously. And then there's the times where snowfall came, and big snowfall. I'm not talking little. I mean, we've been out in 19 degree weather going, what? This wasn't supposed to happen.
Snow. I used to love snow as a kid, hate it now.
No, it's not. It's the weather is weird. I mean, we've had fires in Mojave Desert, Maui, California with tropical storms.
We did all of this as people. We did it.
We cannot deny it because it is really, truly happening. Whether you want to argue about who did what and where, the point is, it's time to take action and really do the best we can. But I'm going to go to this in closing. I'm going to skip ahead from the punk over a few days because there's all kinds of cool holidays in there. There's Pumpkin Day. Who doesn't like pumpkin and who doesn't want to carve a pumpkin?
I love pumpkin muffins.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's got the pumpkin. And it's pumpkin National Chocolate Day on October 28th.
Yay.
And I think that's a big deal because chocolate is good. And if you can get it from a reputable place that does take care of their natural environment, fair, like our fair trade coffee. We can get coffee, you know, chocolate in the same way. That's also a good thing because of our rainforest. So just saying, good chocolate is a good thing. And also not using child labor,
especially dark chocolate,
dark chocolate. We started talking about nuts and chocolate covered nuts, but chocolate, chocolate is a good thing. Dark chocolate is good for your heart. Not a lot of it. And it, you know, it can make them, you know, things get a little bit happy.
It makes you smile.
It's a little aphrodisiac, just saying. Little dark chocolate, you know, with a little spice in it.
Yes, a little frisky
is good. It is the same day as National Chocolate Day, and there's music for chocolate, just saying. Is National Pit Bull Awareness Day, and I want to really do a shout out to this because we've had so many pit bulls. Steve Schnarkert, our Hollywood historian, and I want to call him Snickert Bar because so many people in England call him Snickert. But Steve Schnarkert, our Hollywood historian, has a wonderful pit bull, Bella. So I want to give a shout out to Bella, who's beautiful, sweet, sweet, sweet dog. And we've done nothing. I mean, pit bulls are the sweetest, sweetest dogs.
Unless they're part mistreated.
Of and bulldog, American bulldogs, too. They
are
the
like
family dog.
They're funny.
They are. And
they're sweet.
Got those faces. As a child, I had a bulldog, her name was Lily, and she was so sweet and so kind and such a great companion as a kid.
Dogs are loyal. Dogs are very loyal, and it's how we, you know, people train
how we treat
to fight. Then you've done that, and then the animal has to go backwards and ends up most of the time being taken out in a shelter. You know,
And if you do that, you suck.
But I just want to give a shout out to pit bulls are the sweetest. I've seen them be so good with kids, babies. I've seen them just be really good to me. Sweet, smart, fast. They are the best defenders of you. If somebody breaks into your house, they will take them down, but they will not take you down if you did it right and show them kindness and love. And all animals deserve that. So we were talking about all these social issues. The same day is National First Responders Day. I want to give a shout out to everyone. And we've talked about these wildfires, tornadoes, hurricanes, things like September 11th. You know, we can't really, you know, there's a lot of things. It's also National One United Race Day, right? And National Immigrants Day. So holy cow, we're closing off with a lot of issues on this show today. But, you know, there's there are bad cops. There are bad doctors, there are bad cops, there's always bad in everything. But there are really good cops,
there's
too.
There's more
good.
There's
more good, but the bad ones are really bad and have been doing it, and, you know, and this is a national thing. I would like to see, I don't know how it could happen, but I do believe our first responders, just like our veterans, our military veterans, do need some time out to breathe from what they see every single day. I really believe that there's a mental health issue in our country across the board, and that's passed down through generations. But I also believe that these first responders put their life on the line and they see so much. How are you expecting them to be on the wavelength of a civilian?
Well, also the other problem is that,
and I'm not giving any excuse to the people that have killed black people, the cops who have done that.
Oh,
I am not.
No, not at all.
Know what I mean?
But,
hell no.
But there's also, you know, they're working 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
That's not healthy for anybody. That's just not healthy.
No, it's too much drama, too much stress.
Most of the mistakes that happen in the hospital, you know, happen after the eighth hour. It's just something that needs. My wife, you know, being an advanced practice nurse who's worked in the ER, who's worked in Army bases, who's, you know, so we know about, you know, about that. And I have so many wonderful healthcare providers in my life that are amazing, that keep me going, keep me alive, keep me thriving. I've also had some very bad experiences that were very traumatic, but, you know, you can't let those control you, but you do have to work to make positive change. So,
we should celebrate the good and change the bad.
Yeah.
It is the fall season, which is about the changing of the leaves.
Yeah, so we celebrate the good, we try to change the bad, and keep on trucking.
Right on. Joey, always good to have you on the show.
Everyone,
joeystucky.com. We've got a good playlist of punk songs from Joey, and chocolate. We have other things in there too. We have a little bit of everything. So again, just look in the show notes, no matter where you're listening from.
It's
you
a
know, again,
smorgasbord.
Google. It is. That was well said. Well said.
Thank you.
And everyone, thank you for listening here on BigBlendRadio.com. We appreciate you. And if you're celebrating your birthday this week, we wish you the best day.
Yeah.
And don't forget to celebrate every single day because it's your day. Thanks for listening to Big Blend Radio's Big Weekly Blend Podcast. You can keep up with our shows at BigBlendRadio.com. And if you want to get our Big Weekly Blend magazine, just sign up for our newsletter at BlendRadioAndTV.com.